I'll tell you something. The first thing that, when I went to the big church in Hilo, the first night that I was there, it was a welcoming party for us, and the hula dancers came out. And all Bernie and I could do while they danced was cry. Because of their hearts, they represent the Lord in such a special way that their movements, and I said to Roxy, we're going to be speaking about how to fill your tank. And left it at that. I never talked to her again. She took it in her hands, invited the girls to come. And the song that she chose was about the Spirit filling this place. And very much in what we're talking about today, about the tank that needs to be filled in our lives by God's Spirit. Amen? Yeah, so really grateful. In fact, you cannot use them for if anybody's going to speak up here, they're mine. Okay. How many of you know and you've realized that there are many illustrations that happen every day in your life? For instance, if you drive a car, you know that when the car gets down to Elvis, which is empty, that you have to fill a tank, right? Otherwise, if you don't fill a tank, what happens? Yeah, the car no go nowhere. It stays there. So in our bodies, we have a couple of tanks in our bodies that need to be filled often. Otherwise, if it's not filled and you're on empty, it's really going to show. Something's going to show. Something's not going to work in your life. And so the tank that we're talking about today is your spiritual tank, where your relationship with God, if the tank is full, it will show that you know God, and God is God in your life. And so when you want to draw near to Him, if you want in real intimacy with the Lord, a heart that you would say, my heart belongs to God. And if you want to experience true freedom and the fullness that comes from Him, then you got to learn to be full of Him. Am I making sense? Your tank needs to be topped off all the time to be full of Him. And so the Apostle Paul, he prays this prayer for the church. And we are the church. It's like he's praying for us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, the second part of that verse says that you would be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. If you're taking notes, underline or circle that word filled. That you would be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. You see, that word filled in the Greek is a continuous verb, and it means being filled. It's not just a one-time filling. The word actually means to be filled, to be filled, to be filled, to be filled. It's a constant refueling. Now, why? Because we have a constant need. Now, what I know to be true about my life is this, that if I'm not filled on a regular basis, I'll feel different. I will feel empty. And the sad thing is that other people will notice the difference in my life as well. Because of my emptiness, it affects other people. You see, when I'm spiritually empty, I'm selfish. I'm impatient because when I'm driving on the road, everybody else is an idiot. By the way, I got tested this morning. Yeah. When I'm empty, I'm short with people. When I'm empty, my judgment is distorted. I don't make good decisions. When I'm empty, I lack compassion for others who are hurting. When I'm empty, I begin to think that I deserve certain things. When I'm spiritually empty, I am more cynical, I'm more critical. And when I'm empty, I make the mistake of looking to others to fill me up for only what God can do. Anybody been there? You get upset with somebody else because they didn't do something for you? And you feel empty? And only God can fill you in the right way. So my goal today is to show you how to not run on empty. My goal is to show you how to live your life where you're always topped off, that your tank would be full. But before we can get to the how to do that, I want to build a case for the why we should do that. Because if the why doesn't make sense to you, then the how is not going to work. So why? Why do I need to be refueled on a daily basis? On your outline, the first thing that you would see there is something must change because emptiness is not working for me. Something must change. Jeremiah 6:16 says, this is what the Lord says. Who says? Okay, I'm just reading, but the Lord says this. He says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. I am convinced that many of you are at the crossroads of your life, and you are seeking some kind of relief because you fall into the trap of being too busy. Let me tell you something. Busyness props up in our image, but it really shrinks our heart. There is a price to busyness. It cripples relationships. Busyness fills our calendars, but it fractures our families. Busyness feeds our ego, but it starves our soul. Instead of running on empty, take this advice from God's word. He says, find the good way, you walk in it, and then you get rest for your souls. Because that's what we're looking for. We must be ready for a change. We got to be ready for something better. Business isn't better. Choosing better is better. Get it? Good. I say get it, you say got it, and I say good. Yeah. The second thing I need to do to refuel, the why I need to refuel is because I have a soul that wants to be filled. Now I wonder if you have given much thought that you have a soul. Reality is we have given a lot of thought to our bodies and to our minds. But we give very little thought to our souls. You see, when our bodies are empty, we know how to fill it, right? We eat. You just did that this past week. And when our minds are empty, we can fill our minds up through studying and reading. We're basically always filling our minds with something. But what do we do when your soul is empty? I believe most people don't give much consideration to their soul, mostly because I think that most people don't know that they have a soul. What is a soul? The soul is the invisible part of you. The soul is the internal part of you. It is the part of you that connects with God. Your soul is what makes you different from all of creation. It's the real you. Your soul is what defines you. And Jesus wants people to understand that your soul is more important than your stuff. Your soul is more important than your activity. Your soul is more important than your career. Your soul is the most important thing. You need to value your soul. Matthew 16:26. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul in the process? Is anything worth more than your soul? Now, some of us are so busy trying to gain the world or your share of the world or creating a little world of your own, but in doing so, we're losing our soul. Think about this. We go through life trying to fill our homes and our bodies and our calendars and our bank accounts, and we give little or no attention to our souls. And our souls were designed to connect with God. My point is, you and I have a soul, and it cries out to be filled. And the only one that can fill it is God. Get it, got it, good. Now, the third thing is, my soul filling is an investment in eternity. If I take the time to refuel my soul, then I am making an internal investment. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Therefore, we live by faith and not by sight. You see, when I connect with God, when I make that refueling connection, I'm not only accessing power and guidance that I need for today or tomorrow, but I'm also making an investment in eternity where my real and my final home is going to be. How many of you know that? How many of you know that one day you're going to die? Okay, the rest of you that don't know, you're going to die one day. I know that's not really funny, but the truth, the blessing to that, is that God has prepared a place for us. That's going to be our real home. Amen? And that's what we're talking about here. You better be connected to the one who's going to take you home, to your real home. Think about the stuff that you're doing today, you're doing now. The stuff that you're building, the stuff that you're gathering, the stuff that you're achieving. I got bad news. None of those things are going to last. You mean my boat at home, the shiny one, all not going to last? Not going to last. I had a Cadillac of a boat back in the early 70s. It's called a Grady White. Many of you might have heard it, but that was the Cadillac boat of that time. You know where that boat is today? It's in Waikeuka, in one cow pasture with grass growing through the floor. When I saw that boat, nothing's going to last. You following me? Yeah. But when you take time to fill your soul, when you take time to refuel, and you take time to connect your soul with God, you're making an investment for eternity. That is time well spent. That's the why. And the why triggers the emotion and gets the action going. That's the why. So here's the how. The how is, how do I actually do this? How is this going to work in my life? How do I deepen my soul? How do I actually make God more central of who I am? How do I make soul filling a habit? Here's what I know. People say, I want to be living a vibrant life, but I cannot remember the last time I made a connection with God. Well, do you spend time with him? No. And they feel this guilt. I'll tell you where this guilt comes from. This guilt comes from comparison. They compare what they have heard about other people. Other people read the Bible. They spend lots of time with God. And they say, well, I wish I would read the Bible more. I wish I could pray longer. I wish I could have a good quiet time every day. The guilt comes from comparison. You're comparing what you know about yourself to what you really don't know about other people. Martin Luther said this, "My day is so busy that I get up at 4 a.m. and I spend 3 hours with God before the day starts." You know what I can tell you? That phrase right there made me feel guilty for many, many years of my life. As I was studying to become a pastor and hearing that, I thought, wow, now I got to spend all those hours like Martin Luther. It's these statements. Mother Teresa, she says this, "Spend 1 hour a day in adoration of your Lord and never do anything that you know is wrong and you will be all right." All these kind of things, books and preachers that you have heard, and they pass on this guilt to you. There is a difference. There is a reason why Martin Luther and Mother Teresa are known for their faith. But if you're anything like me, you're nothing like them. Stop comparing yourself. Somebody say amen. Amen. Stop feeling guilty. You are not them. You are you. Turn to the person right now and say to them, you. I hope you're getting this. Be you. Be you in your faith, and you learn how to refuel that is consistent in how you are wired. I want to give you something that is not a guilt thing. I know everybody in this church today can do this, and I know you can and actually do it today. The first thing is you gotta do every day, you just got to stop. Stop. You got to stop your life. This is the opposite of go. Stop. I'm going to tell you a little story. My wife, Berna. Well, before Berna, my mother. She was very meticulous. Every week I come home from school, one day for sure, all the furniture is going to be changed in the house. My mother was spick and span. And I don't know if Berna knew my mother from those days, but Berna's spick and span too. And every Monday, that's her cleaning day. And you know, one day I just grabbed her and I said, "Sit down." And I said, "Decompress." "Go, go, 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 go." And you know what? She sat down for a minute and she said, "Okay, Aunt Paul, no, stay here." To stop is not easy, right? Right. We're just so used to and just going, 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 going. And we got to learn to stop and to refuel. You know what most of us do? We want to refuel on the run. Right? Right? Just like your car. You see the gas station and you think that just by passing the gas station, you're going to get filled up. You got to stop, right? Yeah. You cannot refuel spiritually on the run. And busy people struggle with stopping. I'm asking you to stop. You stop your body. You stop your mind from the tasks and the time and the to-do lists that you have. You just stop. Now, this may take some practice for some of you. You're going to have to learn to stop. And at some point of your day, you just got to stop your busy body. Now listen to those. Listen to this for those who are very busy people. You got to stop your hurry spirit. You got to stop everything. And you know what else you got to do? You stop and then you be quiet. Oh, I put a giat for do that. To be refueled, quiet or silence is the equivalent of air and water for your soul. Silence is an important ingredient in the life of spiritual growth. In a world where there is so much noise, some of us, we cannot handle silence anymore because we are so conditioned to need noise. Think about it. You wake up in the morning to alarm noise. You turn on your music noise or your TV noise. And you get in your car and you turn on more noise. You go to work and you've got noise. You come home and there's noise. There's human noise trying to compete with electronic noise. And you got everything happening in your house. And so what do? You got to get out. And so you go and take a walk, and then you put on more noise. And then you go to bed, and you cannot fall asleep, so you download nature noise. We have conditioned ourselves to need noise. You think about the noises that make you feel good. Waves crashing, birds chirping, water dripping. Those are refreshing noises. God is the one that created those noises. I got to imagine that was part of his plan to just be quiet and hear his noises. Yet we made an industry out of grabbing nature noises and putting it on CDs and making money of it. And you're trying to get quiet that way. In order for you to be quiet, you got to separate yourself from your phone. Wow, that's going to be a hard one. We're kind of addicted, yeah? Yeah, but I'm teaching you how to stay filled. You got to separate yourself from your phone. You got to turn it off. It was hard for me yesterday to go over my message. I studied during the week, and then Saturday I go over my message, and then Sunday morning before I come here I go over the message one more time. And yesterday there was football. Yeah. You got to turn the TV off. Otherwise you're like this, studying and listening, and you cannot do it that way. You got to give it your all. You turn it off. Here's why I want you to get what I'm saying this morning. If you're going to be quiet, that is where God speaks. Get it? Good. God is not going to compete with the noise of ESPN. He's not going to compete with Korean drama or our own noise. God's not going to compete with that kind of stuff. But God loves us so much that he wants to communicate with us, because communication is a two-way street. It's not just us talking to God. It is God talking to us and putting impressions on our heart that you can't hear when there's noise going on. Now, Elijah, the prophet, he knew this. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, God says to him, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain." And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty storm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. I love that. A gentle whisper. That was God. Other translations of the Bible call it a still, small voice. A quiet whisper in your life. I wonder, in my life, how many times I have missed the voice of God because I was around too much noise. The challenge is to stop and be quiet. Even if it's Christian noise, you stop and be quiet. If you want to refuel, you got to stop and be quiet. Now, I'm not saying you got to go to the extremes. I'm not saying never use your phone. I'm not saying turn off from all your electricity and become an Amish monk. I'm not saying those things. That's not my point. My point is you just got to do something that is different. And so you stop and you be quiet. And the third thing I want to ask you to do is then make a connection. You stop, you be quiet, you make a connection. This is where you connect with God. If there's any generation in the history of humanity that understands connection, it is our generation. We're always connected. What I'm asking you to do is for just a little bit of your time, you pause the outer connections and you make an inner connection. Get it? This connection is essential in getting filled up. If you make this connection, I guarantee you this. I promise you that your life is going to be different. Your life is going to be unique. It's going to be one of a kind. It is going to be significant. It's going to be deeper and more soul nurturing. If I'm going to make a connection with God, here's what I got to do. I got to come up with a when. Simply put, when am I going to stop? When am I going to be quiet? When am I going to make a connection? There are no rules for the when. This is where a lot of guilt comes in. Because everybody thinks, well, it's got to be in the morning because the Bible says Jesus got up and prayed in the morning. Well, the Bible also says that Jesus prayed at night. So stop feeling guilty about this kind of stuff. When? Before work, after work, doing work at lunch break, late at night, after the kids go to school, when you wake up at 4 in the morning, or if you're a college kid, when you wake up at 12 noon? When is it? You settle on a when, and then you stick to that when, for a few weeks until it becomes a habit. And the second question is where? Where is it going to be? It does not have to be in a serene setting where you got to go to the beach. No. It's just got to be quiet. So when and where? And then what? In this electronic world today that we live in, they have tools to connect with other people. Phones, PDAs, that kind of stuff. Basically, the what is, what tools do you use to connect? There are a lot of different tools that you can use. You guys got to find the what. We're all wired differently. Now notice, I haven't talked about the time yet. How about 2 minutes? 2 minutes to stop and be quiet, to make a connection. You know, as your soul starts to get nourished, you know what's going to happen? You're going to want to spend more time. And one of the tools might be prayer. One of the tools might be reading God's word. You know, for me, when I read God's word, a lot of the messages come out of that. Sometimes my soul just needs quiet, and I just need to reflect. Sometimes my soul needs encouragement, and I need to go to God's word. My point is, there is a lot of different things that you can do with the what. I'm going to give you a good idea today that will remind you about all what we're talking here. Every time you pass the gas station. Let it be a reminder that you also need to be refilled. I know we can do this. Everybody can. I know that you can find the time to stop and to be quiet and to make a connection, because that's what God wants for your soul. Not only an investment for today, but for an investment for eternity. And when you sing in the mornings, when you come to church, or when you're listening to a Christian song, and you hear something like, Holy Spirit, fill this place, you're asking God to come in and fill you. Amen? You're going to need it this season. People are fighting for parking spaces. Yeah, and you're the one that needs to give it up. You need to be filled. Amen?